Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Hopefully you're doing wonderful this morning. If you could please take out your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10, I'd appreciate that. And also inside of the bulletin is an insert with the message outline to follow along with this morning. This morning we can continue in our series, Communicating with God. And you see most of the songs that we had here, we're talking about the voice, hearing God's voice and us speaking to God. And this morning is the second message of this series. There's only going to be three messages. Next week we'll conclude it. Last week we talked about what to do when God seems silent. When we're praying to God and we seem like he's just not responding, what do we do? Well, we gave three things. Continue to pray, continue to read God's word, and continue to trust God during those times. And today and next week, I want to talk about listening to the voice of God, part one and two. And you've got to come back next week to the conclusion of this message because you're not going to get it all today. So make sure you come back next week because if you're thinking, well, that's all there is that I have to need to hear the voice of God, you're going to miss it. You need to come back next week to hear the rest. What if I asked you this question? When was the last time that you heard the voice of God in your life personally? When was the last time you heard it? You say, I heard God's voice speak to me when? You probably would say to me, I don't hear voices. Isn't it kind of strange to hear voices? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, God spoke to me and told me to do this or go in this direction, in this direction? And many times we look at the person we think, I never hear the voice of God. Why doesn't God speak to me? Why don't I hear his voice? What is going on? Well, we know God speaks, don't we? We understand it. He spoke to nothing and the world became. He spoke and it was done. He created all things. He created the stars and he created the sun and the earth and the moon and the animals and the fish and the birds of the air. He creates the warm breezes, the cool breezes in the wind, in the fall and stuff. He creates all those kind of things. And we think about what power is that? God spoke and it became. God speaks. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And God spoke to Jonah. And when Jonah wouldn't obey, God spoke to a fish. And a fish obeyed. And Jesus spoke to the masses and to that. And he spoke to the waves. And he told them to cease and to stop. Just imagine the power of that. In the waves, in the wind, hearing the voice of God stop and they cease. He has complete control over that. Jesus spoke to many people, spoke to his disciples intimately. So we don't have trouble believing in the voice of God speaking, do we? But what is the deal that maybe he never speaks to you? That you never hear his voice? What is the deal? Why don't you hear the voice of God? Why don't you hear it in your own life? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given all the equipment to hear his voice. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that's all you need to hear his voice. But maybe the reason you don't hear his voice is maybe because you're not listening. The question is, are you listening? Have you ever talked with someone and you're talking to them and you're sharing this, but you realize that they're not listening? You're talking to them and you can just look at them and they're kind of looking right past you and they're a million miles away and you're sharing your heart and your mind and everything you have and you just know they're not paying attention. Have you ever had that happen to you? Isn't that annoying? I wonder if God ever thinks that about you, that I'm speaking and you're not listening. So I want to talk to you this week and next week about listening to the voice of God. And I said this week we're going to talk about building effective habits to hear the voice of God. Next week we're going to talk about how to experience the voice of God in your life. So you need to come back next week for this message. So what does it mean to listen to the voice of God? Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. Hopefully you have them there. And John chapter 10 gives us Jesus' discourse on the voice of God in our lives. And let's begin reading in verse 1 and 2. Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. Well, let's stop there. How many of you have been sheep farmers? Now, there might be some in here. Has anybody been sheep farmers? Some's had some sheep. Not very, very many of us have had sheep. So maybe we need to understand what sheep farmers do, because when Jesus was speaking to these people at this time, they definitely understood about what sheep farming. They understood what he was talking about. And Jesus was talking about sheep, a shepherd in a sheep pen. Try to say that 10 times fast. I mean, sheep, shepherd in a sheep pen. Now, the sheep pen is a place where the sheep are kept. Understand that. This was kind of a stone enclosure. It was kind of round, a stone enclosure. Didn't have a roof or anything like that. It had an opening in it. And at the opening was kind of a gate, or sometimes there wasn't a gate. But always at the opening, there was always a gatekeeper. And the gate was so the sheep could go in and they can go out. And the gatekeeper's job was to keep anything from going in and going out. And the gatekeeper sometimes, he would kind of at night, he would kind of lay across the gate opening so nothing could come in or nothing could go out. That was his job, is to keep that in. And the only one he would allow in would be the shepherd. And he would keep out anything else that was dangerous. And only way anything dangerous could come in, it could not come through the doorway, but they had to come over the wall is what Jesus was saying in this passage. But the only one that had the credentials to come through the gate and allow the gatekeeper to come in was the shepherd. Let's read verse 3. He says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, the shepherd lived with the sheep, and he knows them, and it's given us this intimacy. He calls them by name. He names his sheep, and isn't that kind of nice? I kind of like that. I don't know if you like that, that Jesus calls his sheep by name. He has such an intimate relationship with them that he calls them by name, and I like that. That Jesus knows my name. And if you know Jesus Christ, you say he knows your name. And it's like he's looking at me and says, Doug, you're a little too far away from me. You need to come back. It's a little dangerous out there. Come back. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. This is where you need to be, right here close to me. And it gives us a picture, what Jesus has given, of intimacy with Jesus, us with him and him with us, that he wants us to stay close to him. Everyone to stay close. Let's read verse 4 through 9. He says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture, what he's saying. And what Jesus is trying to help us, you and I, to understand is listening to the voice of God. And the question is, who gets the privilege of hearing the voice of God is what he's asking. Who gets that privilege? And he wants you and I to understand that. It's only those and only those that come by the door of the sheep pen. And it's that one that said in John 14, 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to God, no one comes into the sheep pen except through the door of the shepherd, is what Jesus was saying. So who gets the privilege of hearing the voice of God? He gives us kind of a condition, who it is. Those who enter the sheep pen through Jesus. Those who enter the gate through Jesus. Only those get an opportunity to hear his voice. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. And if you've never done that, you need to understand God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants that. Because of your sin, has created a barrier between you and God. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth. And Jesus Christ took on your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world. And when he died on the cross, he knocked down that sin barrier that stands between us and God. And now the only thing that stands between us and God is Jesus. And now it comes down, what will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him or will you reject him? The Bible says that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sins, God accepts you, forgives you of your sins, and then you're able to hear his voice and to walk in intimacy with him. If you've never done that, you need to do that today by simply coming and saying, I know I'm a sinner, God, and right now I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I place my faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You need to do that. Verse 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Then Jesus continues on his listening to the voice of God, his discourse, down in verse 27. So we want to skip down there. And this is the passage in verse 27. We're going to really drill deep next week. Really going to be talking about that next week. But he says this, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What Jesus is clarifying to you and I in this passage, the big picture, is we come to understand the sheep, the shepherd, and the sheep pen. And he wants us to understand this. My question to you after hearing this, do you have a problem of listening? Do we have a problem of listening? Do we? We're all good talkers. Every one of us are good talkers. You mean, I don't talk. All of us are good talkers. We have no problem coming before God. God, I need this. I need that. Help me here. Help me there. God, I need your help. But we need to listen to God. We need to be good listeners. And I wonder if God ever says, you know what? I just wish you would be quiet and listen. Because you're so busy. You're so busy. You're doing all these things. And he says, you need just to be still, quiet, and listen. Because I have the answer to your prayer, but you're not listening. I'm trying to tell you what to do, but you will not listen to me. And I wonder if God ever says that to you and I when we do that. Because we all have trouble listening. We all have trouble just sitting before the Lord quiet and listening to what he may have to say to us. So let's talk about five habits of becoming an effective listener to the voice of God this morning. Five habits, and really going to get these five habits from the first five verses of John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. And the first one starts in the first verse. Let's read it again. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Then Jesus tells us about that thief in verse 10. Listen to what he says about him in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's given us a great truth there for us to apply to our life. So the first thing an effective listener does in hearing the voice of God is this. You have to become aware of danger in your environment, because that's what Jesus is talking about. You have to be aware of this. If you're not aware of this, then why do you need to hear his voice? You have to be aware of the danger in your environment. Jesus says that we're in danger. Now, Jesus calls you and I sheep. And let's think about that. That is not too much of a compliment. We may say, oh, that's great, I'm sheep. Let's face it, the sheep are not the rocket scientists of the world, of the animal kingdom. They're not very bright. They're just not. They don't run very fast. They're just so vulnerable. And if anybody's coming over the wall after them, they're toast. They're going to be had. There's nothing they can do about it. They don't run very fast. They don't bite. They don't have any claws. And if they're running on rocky soil, they usually fall and it will break their leg. And whatever's coming after them is going to catch up to them and they're going to devour them. And that's what Jesus has given you and I, to let you and I understand. This figure of speech, he goes, do you understand? You're like sheep out there. And any wolves are coming along, they're going to devour you. They're going to have their way with you. And the only way you're going to stand up is because of the shepherd, is because he's there. What Jesus wants you and I know from this wonderful lesson of listening to the voice of God is that you and I are in danger. We need to understand that. We need to be aware of that, is what he's saying. We need to be aware that you and I are at war, and sometimes we forget that because we look at it around us. See, it doesn't matter how well things are going in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of house you have. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. What Jesus is saying, that you and I are in danger, we are at war, and that they're coming over the wall, he says, after us. The only one that's going to come through the gate is the shepherd, but all those else are coming over the wall, and they're constantly coming over the wall after you and I, and that we are at war, he's saying. And we've been at war since Genesis chapter 3, since the enemy of our souls put you and I in the bullseye. In the bullseye was crosshairs right there. He says, you and I are at war. And we live in a very, very dangerous place, is what Jesus was saying. And he wants you and I to understand that. To not walk around this life and not be aware there's a spiritual dimension that is around us. And I'm reminded of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Your fight and your war is not against your friend or your boss. It's not against your spouse and your children. It's against the underworld. It's against the spiritual dimensions. You think about that. How spooky is that? It's what Jesus is talking about. It's like watching the worst horror movie you ever watched, but it's real. And that's what Jesus wants you and I to understand, that the world in which you live is not a safe place, that are coming over the wall. And when he talks about the thief, listen to what he says. He is coming over the wall to steal, kill, and destroy. Those that are coming after us are not nice people, is what Jesus is saying, and you and I need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we're in a war, and they're coming over the wall after us, and when you're in warfare, you need to hear from your general. You need to hear from your commander-in-chief. You need to hear from him. And the person is our commander-in-chief and our general is Jesus. And we desperately need to hear his voice so you and I know what to do. And unless we understand that we're in danger, we won't seek his voice. We won't want to hear his voice because his voice will tell you what to do. His voice will lead you into a safe place to know what to do during those times. You will never, ever want to listen to the voice of God until you understand that you're in danger, till you need his help. And that's why Jesus gives us the figure of speech that I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep and you're out there defenseless. Anything comes against you, you're vulnerable. You don't have a counterattack. You depend totally upon the shepherd for everything in your life, and you need him. There was a Christian man who was on a business trip, and he checks in to the hotel, and as he's getting into the elevator, go up to his floor, there's two young ladies that come in the elevator. And at that time, just to be courteous, he says, what floor are you going to? And I'll hit the button for you. And they looked at him, and they says, I don't know, what floor are you going to? Want to have some fun. That time he was alone, who would know? But he said right at that moment, there was like a screen came down before them that separated them two, and it says, he who sows to the flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. And this man was in the elevator, and he says, he pushed the next button. When it opened up, he fled and ran out of the elevator to get away from that. We're so thankful for the voice of God during dangerous times. And he's faithful if we're listening to that voice to keep you and I out of trouble, to keep us out of danger. I heard of a story of a mom and a little boy playing in the front yard. And they're playing ball in the front yard, and the ball happened to go out toward the street. And the little boy starts running out toward the street. And all of a sudden, the mom goes, Johnny, stop, stop, stop. And Johnny stops, and he turns around and looks at his mom. And about that time, a car went right in front of him. Because he listened to his mom's voice, he wasn't hit by the car. And I wonder how many times that God is crying out to you and I, stop, 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 don't do that, trying to warn you and I. And the question is, are we listening to his voice or not to stop us from getting hit? And how many Christians have you run into that's been hit by a thud, by something, whatever they were going to, and God's trying to warn them, stop, and they're hit by Satan's traffic. Whatever he gets them tied up into, whatever they're in, whatever sin they get tied up in, that he hits them. Because they were not listening to his voice. And God is warning us constantly, stop, stop. And the question, are you listening to him? And I believe you become an effective listener when you understand the clear and present danger in your environment. And you will not want to hear his voice unless you are aware that you need his help. Unless you're aware that you are in danger. And so many times we go through this life, we don't realize the spiritual forces around us. We think everything's just happening by chance and by coincidence, but it's not. There is a war around us, and God wants us to understand that, and Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that. That leads me to the second habit in verse 2. He says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. So the second habit, an effective listener to the voice of God, is a welcoming heart to the presence of Christ in your life. You have to have a welcoming heart to the presence of Christ in your life. As the gatekeeper's job was to only let in the shepherd. He was to protect the sheep that was inside of the sheep pen. And he only to let the shepherd inside. That was the only one he was allowed inside of the sheep pen. That was his job, to protect them. Well, who have you let into your life recently? Because we're all kind of shepherds or gatekeepers of our heart, aren't we? Who have you let into the sheepfold of your heart? Who have you let into your life that should not be there right now? Who have you allowed influence? Who has come over the wall in your life and not through that gate, through Jesus, and you have allowed in your life to influence you, talking to you, to do different things? Who have you allowed that in your life? See, in order to have his presence, you have to welcome Jesus into your life, the Bible says. You have to welcome into your heart and your life. And yes, I know that if you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, that Jesus lives in you. Positionally, he does. Theologically, he lives in you. But just because it's still, you may have your heart door slammed to Jesus right now as a believer in Christ. You might have slammed your heart door and you're not listening to him at all. How do I know that? Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Keep it in John chapter 10. We're coming back. Jesus wrote this. Many times this is used as an evangelistic verse to share with people who do not believe in Jesus, but this was really written, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, was written to believers in Jesus Christ. It was written to the church. It was written to the church of Laodicea. And listen to what Jesus says. He says this, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me, is what he's saying. Now, this is to hear his voice. This is to hear the voice of Jesus. It says you have to welcome him in, that Jesus is knocking in the door. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I have to welcome in. If I want to have communion with Jesus, I have to invite him in to have that communion. And Jesus wants to come in and have dinner with you. And it's not the kind of dinner sometimes we think about. Oh, yeah, Jesus, let's get our dinner and TV trays. Let's go watch some television. That's not what he's talking about there. He's talking about during the New Testament times, they have dinner with someone. It was to spend an extended amount of time in fellowship that evening. They really get to know each other, to bond in fellowship and be united. That's what Jesus wants to do with you. He wants to have that kind of fellowship, but you have to invite him in. And if you don't welcome the presence of Jesus in your life and spend time in communion with him, you're probably not going to hear his voice too much. You're probably not listening to his voice because you will be listening to everything else that is around you that you've allowed into your heart's gate. See, there's a lot of voices out there and they're speaking and you hear their voice. And you're going to hear all those voices until you have a desire to listen to the voice of God in a welcoming heart and inviting him in. You won't hear his voice. You're going to hear all other voices that are calling you to do all kinds of things. So you have to have a welcoming heart to hear the voice of Jesus. You need to have that in your life. Habit number 3 is found in verse 3. It says in verse 3, it says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The third habit of an effective listener to the voice of God is this. Recognize the voice of Jesus. You have to recognize his voice. When the shepherd spoke, the sheep looked up right to the shepherd. Why? Because they knew his voice. His voice was distinctive from all other voices. They understood his voice from all other voices. They knew that voice. Well, how do you recognize the voice of God? How do you recognize his voice? Here's the goal for hearing the voice of God. Here it is. It's very simple. That you hear it so often, and you know it so well that you recognize it anywhere and everywhere. That you hear it so often in your life, you say, I know that voice. It's distinctive from all other voices. I spent so much time with Jesus that I know his voice. I understand his voice. And you can understand, in order to do that, it's going to take communion with Jesus, spending time with Jesus to really understand his voice. When I was younger, lived at home, and I've shared it with you before. When I was probably between the age of 2 to almost 13, just turned 13, we lived in an area where it was called what we call today a subdivision. We didn't call them that back then, but it was a subdivision. It was kind of a 1 mile block all the way around, and many houses around it. And there were so many young families that lived there. I was the youngest of 3 older brothers, or 4 boys. And in our house, there was 4 children. Behind us was 3 girls, down there children, 3 in here, 5 over here, 2 here, 3 over there, 3 over there. There was 12 children down there. I can tell you, go down the line, how many children lived around there. There was kids always outside playing where I lived, and everyone seemed to congregate at my next-door neighbor's house, our house, and the one on the other side of them. We had 3 yards, and I think the yards were like 200 feet wide. So you had 600 feet. We used to play all kinds of games. And any time out there, you would have 10 to 30 kids at one time out there. I mean, about every night. They were out there playing and screaming and hollering and everything like that. And it would be so noisy. I mean, you couldn't hear yourself. But there was 2 times that my mom would call us home. 2 times she'd call us home. And my family always ate dinner together, and she would call us home. Or at nighttime, and my mom thought, they need to come home. And my mom just doesn't have a loud voice, and she'd just say, Doug, it's time to come home. Now, she'd say it once, maybe twice, but never more than that. Doug, it's time to come home. I would be out here in the backyard, way out there, playing, screaming, and everybody having all this fun, all the noise around me. And there was something about when I heard my mom's voice, I knew that voice from all other voices. I was in tune with that voice, and all she had to say, Doug, it's time to come home. And I knew, my mom's calling. I gotta go. I better go. And I would take off running. Why? Because I knew my mom's voice. Because I'd spent time with her. And my mom's voice was leading me home. I'd spent time with her, communicating with her, understanding her. And I knew that voice from all other voices. And even when she calls now, I know right away, it's my mom's voice. You know that voice. This is the way it is to be with Jesus. That you know that voice, that you spend time with him, and you know his voice from all others, that you're able to distinguish his voice in your life. You know what he's talking about, and you know what he wants you to do. So all other voices that are coming in, that are pounding at your heart, and they will, they're pounding at your heart, you hear his voice, in his voice alone, and you're listening to what he wants you to do, and you recognize it anywhere and everywhere because it's distinct voice that Jesus is speaking into your life, and he speaks in your disappointments. He speaks when you're depressed, and he speaks when you're down, and he speaks in your successes. He speaks in your happiness. The goal is to recognize Jesus' voice anywhere and everywhere, and the only way to do that is to be listening. And the question is, are you listening? Is every day you get up, are you trying to tune your ear in to hear his voice? Are you trying to just do your own thing and you're not tuned in? In order to hear the voice of Jesus, you have to be tuned in. You have to be listening to what he's saying. And that's what Jesus wants to be tuned in because Jesus is talking. Habit number 4 is verse 4. He says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Sheep don't have real good earsight. They don't see very well, but they have real good earsight. Eyesight. You got me. I heard it down here. Eyesight. They don't have real good eyesight. They don't see very well. But they have good, and bear with me, earsight. They have really good hearing. They really see with their ears. They hear, and they know where to go. They know where to go. They know which direction to go. Because they hear the voice of their shepherd, and they follow him. And their shepherd is constantly speaking to them. And that's what the shepherd does. A shepherd of sheep doesn't get behind him like they do cows. Let's move, let's move. He gets in front of his sheep. And he's constantly calling him by name, and he's leading him out. And you have to be listening. He's guiding you. He's leading you where to go, when to turn, what not to do, to say stop, keep moving, whatever. But you have to listen to his voice. The shepherd, Jesus, is constantly speaking. The question, are we listening? Are we listening to his voice? That's the way he leads you. And that's the figure of speech and analogy that Jesus has given you and I. The shepherd is speaking to his sheep. He's speaking, and are you listening? So the fourth habit of an effective listener to the voice of God is a desire to follow the voice of the shepherd. A desire to follow the voice of the shepherd. You have a desire to do that. Because if you do not want to follow Christ, you will not hear his voice. You will not hear it because you got to have the desire. See, his voice is the voice of guidance. His voice is the voice of leadership. He wants to lead and take you somewhere. That's what Jesus wants to do. So what does it take to hear the voice of Jesus? What does it take? Well, it's an inner desire that you have inside of your heart and mind to listen to his voice. What we are talking about is habits of an effective listener to the voice of God. A habit is something you're doing over and over and over, and you practice at it, and you become very good at it. So it's a habit. It's a habit, constantly doing it. And many times in our lives, we will choose not to follow Christ. We will choose not to listen to the voice of Jesus. And every time you and I choose to go our own way, to do our own thing apart from Jesus leading us, apart from our shepherd, and we choose to go over the hill apart from our shepherd, it will always be letdowns and hurts and disappointments in our life. And the Bible says it will lead to destruction, and it will lead to hurting other people. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You and I, anytime we choose to go separate from Jesus, as a believer in Christ, we better believe it's going to end up hurting us and hurting those around us. Because what we're doing, no longer we are hearing the voice of the shepherd who's guiding us. We're getting so far away that his voice becomes very low and I don't hear it anymore. And he's calling me to go this way and I don't hear him saying, stop, stop, stop. And I continue to do my thing. And every time we do that, it's going to cause hurts and hurt those around us. But when you choose to follow Jesus, when you choose to follow him, you will never be let down or do something that you're sorry for. You will never do that. You will always be led to the right place in your life. And what Jesus is doing to every one of us, he's our shepherd. He's leading us. He's speaking. And every one of us, wherever you're at, we're all being drawn to Jesus. From all sides, we're all coming to Jesus, and he's leading us. He's leading us, and the shepherd is walking before us, and he's guiding us in our life, and we have to hear his voice so we know what to do because Jesus wants to guide you and I in our life. In order to hear that voice, you have to have a desire to follow Jesus. You have to have a desire to long to hear his voice. So habit number 5 in verse 5 says this. Verse 5 says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So the fifth habit of an effective listener to the voice of God is this. Refuse to listen and flee from strange and harmful voices. That you would refuse to listen and you're going to flee from any strange voice, from any harmful voices out there. Now, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. If someone else comes in and calls them by name, they flee. They run. Why? Because it's a strange voice, and they don't know that voice, so they run. When the shepherd comes in and he calls his sheep, they run to him. Why? Because they know his voice. And that's what he's saying here. So you need to refuse to listen and hear strange voices. Don't listen to those voices that are out there. The Greek word for strange is the Greek word for alien. It's talking about alien, hostile voices, foreign voices. It's almost like the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. When you hear those voices, realize these are not voices. This is not a friendly voice. And it should come into our life that means stop. Stop. Don't go any further. Don't follow that voice. That's not the voice of Jesus. Well, how do I know a strange voice? And that's what I want to give you real quick. How do you know a strange voice from Jesus' voice? And it's very easy to know that. Any voice that leads you to doubt Jesus, any voice that would cause that, doubt his word. That is what happened with Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. She doubted his word, and the enemy gets you to doubt Jesus. Did Jesus really say that? Did Jesus say that you have to follow him all the time? Didn't really say that, and it gets us to doubt Jesus. Do you really need Jesus' help during this time? You know, you could do this on your own. Just to doubt Jesus and his help that he wants to give you. Second is disbelief in Jesus causes you to stop trusting Jesus, saying that Jesus can't help you in your situation, that you're too far gone, and you stop believing that Jesus can help, and it starts doing that. Anything that would cause you to have that, you know, it's a strange and harmful voice. Jesus will never do that to you. He will always call you to come to him. He wants to help you. And three is to disobey Jesus, disobey his word right out. You come and say, disobeyed the minor details of his word, that his word doesn't say that. The word tells me that I can do whatever I want and it's all right. And Jesus is okay with that. The word does not say that. And the enemy would get you to think that's the way sometimes. We need anything with disobey. There are many strange voices out there, guys. There's many strange voices. Strange voices are everywhere. And sometimes strange voices are in university classrooms. Sometimes they're there. Their voices can sound really cool. Turn around, really, I don't know if a word's hip today, but really hip or whatever you want to say it. So right, but they're so deceiving. You look at sometimes a university classroom, and they're so intelligent that everything they say must be the truth. And we have people listening to them, but those strange voices can deceive you. And sometimes strange voices come through the television set. Sometimes they come over the radio, and they come through YouTube videos and come on the internet. And there's all kind of strange voices. And saying, hopefully when you hear those strange voices, you go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Or do you say, give me more. I want more of that. I want more of those strange voices. See, strange voices come from friends and family and can even come from Christian friends. Be aware. Can even come from Christian friends. They have good intentions, but many times will tell you some things that you should not do. Some of the most ungodly advice I've ever heard of came from Christians, believers in Christ. Many years ago, I was counseling a married couple. And the married couple, the man had done something in the marriage, and they were working through their problems. And we were seeing God do some tremendous, tremendous healing and reconciliation. And the marriage was going to be strong, and God was doing a tremendous work. And I remember the lady one time went out with one of the other ladies in the church, and I thought, man, that's going to be great. She's going to affirm what God is doing and everything, going to affirm some of the things that I've shared. What I found out that this other Christian lady told her, when she shared with her what her husband had did, she said this, I can't believe he did that. I'd kick that bum out and I'd divorce him. Strange voice. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sometimes voices, they think they know to understand what God is doing behind the scenes. Beware. If you're an effective listener of Jesus Christ, you refuse to entertain strange voices. You refuse to listen to some of those things. Don't listen to any voice that will cause you to doubt Jesus, disbelieve in Jesus, or disobey Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep do not listen to strange voices, but they follow me. Hearing the voice of Jesus, hearing his voice, is a privilege for only those who've entered the gate through Jesus Christ. And I just wonder this morning, have you been listening? Have you been listening? Please come back next week so we can talk about how to experience the voice of God in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you as we come. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning to embrace these five habits to become an effective listener to your voice. That, Lord, we long. We would long and have an inner desire to hear you speaking to us. That, Lord, we would have this in our hearts and minds. So right now, Lord, I pray that each one of us would surrender our hearts and minds and say, God, I just want to hear your voice. Lord, we turn over our will to you, and that you would give us the desire, you would give us the love and the longing to walk with you. That, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. And I pray that for each person that is here today, that we'd have that inner desire to know you, to understand you, and to be able to distinguish your voice from all other voices. Lord, sometimes it's so hard to do that, and you know that. So, Lord, help to make your voice clear, crystal clear, that we can understand it. Lord, I know to do that, we have to spend some time with you, and I pray that for each person here, that they have a longing to spend time with their Savior, Jesus. They would fall in a deeper, deeper love with you. And the Lord, our hearts and minds might be overwhelmed by your goodness, overwhelmed by you. So I pray for our hearts right now that we might tender them to you, that we might tune in our ears to hear your voice. The one who loves us, our shepherd, wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. Lead us, Jesus, lead us. We ask these things in that most precious name, in the name of Jesus, amen.